For those of you who don't know me, I am Brian Barr. I am the director at Lakeview Christian Camp. So I have some pictures here. So a lot has happened since the last time that I've been here at your church. A lot has developed and changed at Lakeview Christian Camp. And one of the things that I promote since I have been here, we started a promotion called God is on the Move. God is on the Move at Lakeview. In fact, some of you bought t-shirts a while ago. And in that campaign, we raised money for sidewalks around our camp. We have that done. We raised money for bathroom additions on the back of our cabins and roofs on our cabins. We have that done with the exception of cabin one. We have the foundation done for our bathroom addition, but we have not yet built the bathroom addition. That's coming because as a board, we decided that it's best to take a pause on our bathroom additions, build the dining hall. Okay, the new dining hall had been talked about before I got there for 10 years. It had been talked about having a new dining hall. And so that was on our list. And it is a 40 by 60 metal building. It's quite lovely. So when I took this picture, we had just got finished with it. And now I have come and poured concrete where you see this dirt at. So it's like a big front porch. And my objective is, with all that concrete that I poured from the building to the sidewalk, I want to line it with rocking chairs, the whole up and down it. Yeah, and you know, that is a place where people can go and sit and rest, but it's also out this way, that's where our camp is. And so you're sitting there rocking, you can watch the kids and everybody playing. It's fantastic. Makes me feel like I'm going to be at home, I hope, sitting in a rocking chair. So our existing dining hall is on this side of this sidewalk that you see now. Okay, and the idea is we're going to build a breezeway to connect the two buildings. And that's going to be an enclosed breezeway. And so we want to be able to close this, the new building off for when we have small groups. So we just have to heat and cool our existing dining hall and just use our new dining hall whenever we have big groups or it was wonderful this summer when it rained or it stormed or it was super hot outside. We got the kids inside and we played dodgeball and all kinds of games in there. We even were able to have classes in there. And the air conditioner that we put in, it'll run you out of there, get you so cold. And it's just a fantastic building to have. And so this is what it looks like right now. So we need more bathrooms near our dining hall area. And so these are bathrooms that we've built. So we have two rooms. They're both handicap accessible. They have one bathroom, two bathroom, and then the third little bay area is just a storage area where we can take down tables and put in there and store whatever we need to store in there. We never have enough storage at camp either. So this is working out. This is our air conditioner on top if you're wondering what that middle thing is. But this is what it still looks like. I took this picture in July or early June. And COVID sucks. It has wreaked havoc on lots and lots of things. And one of the things that has hurt is it hurt our camp. So when this started in March, we had every weekend booked. Every other year we have a family come on Thanksgiving that Kate and I fix for about 90 people. Okay, they come Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, and stay through Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Kate and I, we fix 7 turkeys and 6 hams and all kinds of, all the fixings, North Carolina style. And they even canceled. Every weekend we had booked up, and everybody's canceled. We had enough money to build our dining hall. We had enough money to float us through the summer, the July month that we had. But man, it wreaked havoc on our finances because, you know, most of the time we pretty much break even with all of our bills and things for when we hold summer camp, okay, with tuition that they come in, we about break even for the year. And so the way that we are really able to do extra projects and things are our retreats that we have on the weekend. That brings in a lot of revenue for our camp. And so the last month, I have not cashed my paycheck, and we have, I guess, about $12,000 or so still out there from campers that haven't paid or churches that haven't paid, and it's kind of tight. We've paid all of our insurances up. We have about $18,000 in insurance that we have to pay every year. And we just paid that last month. We have about $2,000 in workman's comp that is coming up in the next month that we have to pay. But it's tight. It's tight. And this past weekend, we did have a women's encounter out there, which was fantastic. And man, we were sitting down and talking and praying, and we had right at, I think, $2,000 in the bank before that. And Monday, I went to the mailbox, and Monday afternoon, I deposited $14,000. Notes from people: we've been praying for you. You've been on our hearts. Here you go. And we haven't promoted that we're hurting financially, right? But we've been praying about it and trying to figure out exactly what we need to do as a camp to get by, to last until this COVID thing is over, right? So we can start doing things. We've been talking about what we need to do. In fact, October the 24th, that's a Sunday before Halloween, we're going to do a fall festival out there. And we have a few local churches around Hill City and Stockton and Plainville that are going to set up booths. We're going to have a live band out there. We're going to feed people. And we're going to hope that we're going to treat it as a fundraiser type deal. In the next week, you should have a flyer for that. That is almost done. So we're just trying to figure out ways that we can get by. But Monday, man, we were blown away, because when people pray, God hears them. And God answers your prayers. It's important that if things are going good for you, that you pray. And it's important if things are going bad for you, that you pray. Because when we're in constant communication, when we're communing with God, talking back and forth, man, that means that we are getting in line with His will and His way. And man, things happen. Things happen. So we're, I guess, back financially. We have enough to make it through, pay our bills through the winter, I believe now, with our electricity and our heating bill. I think we'll be okay. But please be praying for the finances of our camp. So we were able to have camp this summer. We started July the 1st, and we ended the last day of July. And we had 239 campers. That number is way down, but man, it was a great month. It was a great month. The kids, you know, since they canceled school and most of their summer activities, when they got together, the joy that they had is incredible. Just seeing friends and being around each other, because they hadn't been allowed to do that. You know, it was a stay-at-home order for a long time, and then parents were nervous to get their kids out. And man, when they come together, it was wonderful. And always, we normally have like some discipline problems. We didn't have any of that this year. It was awesome because the kids wanted to be there. And 239 campers. And every year we try to add something new to our repertoire of games and things that we have for our kids. We have knocker balls that we bought one year, and archery tag that we bought another. And this year, as you see here, this mountain, we call this the death trap. Okay. So from what I understand, at Cedar Bluff, y'all used to have a long slide. Is that right? From what I understand, you had kind of a long slide there. And so we wanted to always be better than that place, because stick it to the government, right? And so we built this. That is actually 20 foot tall right there, what you're seeing. And those two pipes at the very top, they're buried in the hill. Okay, they almost go straight down. The kids, we have sleds that they sit on. They zip down to the bottom of it and shoot out the other end. And it is fantastic. This was the hit of our summer camp, I believe, for most of the kids. They loved it over and over and over again. They did that. And the death trap. And so now I planted grass all over it, and I am not going to weed deed that thing. Just wanted to let you know. Okay, that grass is going to grow. Not cutting it, because that's a big hill right there, all right? And so I planted grass to grow. I'm hoping to, in the spring, plant wildflowers, so they'll start growing on that thing. But that was our new addition, the death trap. This is a up close and personal to kind of see He's not even at the bottom of the hill down there, and look how small that guy is. But this is where they enter it, and then at the very bottom of the hill, you'll see some black mats down there. So the idea is the kids will hit that mat and kind of slow down a little bit, but they didn't slow down. And so what we've done, had a guy donate some money. We're going to buy two more culverts. That's just a ditch culvert right there that we buried. And we're going to cut them in half to make an open slide at the end so they can kind of have a place to stop. Because one thing that we've learned is no matter how much you rake or put dirt on top, those rocks always come to the top. They settle for some. It's crazy. And man, we've picked piles and piles of rocks out of there. And we don't want the kids to get hurt, right? We call it the death trap, but we don't really want them to die. That was one of the big things, and the kids absolutely loved it. And so what we want to do, if you're looking down this slide, you can see the light at the bottom of the tunnel. And so what we want to do is put a flap at the end so it just looks dark so that the kids will slide into the darkness and then come out of the light. We're going to spiritualize that too. Yeah. And the reason, everything we do, all right, at Lakeview Christian Camp, no matter what it is, we always make sure that we relate it to God in some way. Because we know that whatever career you have, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're doing it for the name of the Lord and for His glory, then, man, things work better, right? And so wherever we're doing singing songs or going down the death trap or climbing the rock wall, we always relate it to life and how God can use you wherever, whatever you're doing. And whatever you're doing, you can always be praising God right there because of the death of Jesus Christ. You know, the veil was ripped in two, and that represented His spirit being out. And you can worship God right where you're at. So no. That was a long answer. No injuries on that thing. And in fact, when we were building this, this man's name is Alan Dinkle. Him and I did this whole thing right there. We wanted to scare them a little bit, right? And so when we first started, our hill wasn't very high. And, you know, you could slide down it like a little wee when you go down. But we wanted them to have a little bit of thrill, yes, but like, anticipation as you're going down as to what's going to happen, right? Because you got to take steps of faith. Yeah, we want them to be a little scared. If you will sit down on your sled, you can slide down it. Yeah, my kids are 3 and 4. I have a little girl named Elsie Grace and a little boy named Ella, and they love it over and over and over again. So the hole is 30 inches wide or 30 inches around, you know. It's pretty big. So the snow sleds that you sit on, they go through it well. So it's smooth on the inside. Yep, so you can't feel the corrugated. It's just a smooth sail, especially with that zip wax. This summer, we had 9 people working at camp. So we hired extra staff because of all the cleaning and things that we had to do so that we could have camp. I mean, every year, God sends us the right people. And every year we have a fantastic staff. Everybody's a hard worker, and you know, I've never had any kind of drama, really. Well, I had an older lady that was a cook that quit on us. But really, that's the only kind of drama that we've had with our staff. Yeah, I love camp. I do. Just growing up, you know, all my memories of the summer are surrounded with memories of camp. I mean, that's what I did growing up. And it affects people, you know, it affects the kids that are there, of course, but even the volunteers that come and serve, you know, or the adults that are there with the kids, it impacts them too because, you know, they are seeing kids interacting with each other and interacting with God. And man, it's just a wholesome experience there. In fact, we've had 3 volunteers in the last 2 years get baptized there while they were volunteering. It's been fantastic. You know, I love this verse that you read earlier, Psalm 34, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to read that again because It says, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. You know, I have been going through the Psalms for the last couple months now, and man, there are nuggets in here just like this verse that just, man, they're wonderful. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and those who fear Him will lack nothing. And, you know, that is very relevant to what we've been going through at camp. You know, because my family, Kate and I, we see ourselves as missionaries, okay, for Northwest Kansas. And everything we do is just ingrained. God is ingrained in everything we do. And no matter where we're at, in Walmart sitting in the floor playing with kids, or the grocery store in Stockton, or no matter what, I mean, it is always, we're always talking about God. We're always trying to see what He wants us to do. We haven't lacked anything. Nothing. God's put us in a position where I preach on Sundays at the Christian church in Plainville, and the last month, not having the income from the camp, you know, things have been really super tight, but God is good. We haven't lacked anything. We've had food on our tables, a roof over our head. God is good for those. My question for you this morning is, can you see that in your life? Can you see that you lack nothing? And is that the truth? In Psalm 139, it says, in verse 23, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." So if you sit down right now and ask God to search you, what would He find? What would He find? Would He find a genuine God lover? The greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Would He find a God lover? Would He find a God-fearer? Or would He find an American that lives in Hays, Kansas? Because there is a difference. And I was talking to a social studies teacher on Thursday, and one of the questions that he always starts his classes with are you a Kansan first or an American first? Because there's a difference in state and federal, right? And so, you know, we can ask that same question here. Are you an American first, or are you a Christian first? And what does that look like? Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, man, it says, in the last days, there will be terrible times in the last days, starting in verse 1. Verse 2 says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Like, you know, man, when he's writing this, he's writing, and it sounds like the world that he's describing, right? Like lovers of self, lovers of money. Right? But do you know in the last days, this isn't even talking about the world. This is talking about the church. He's writing about the people in the church. We just read in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God. Search me." And so if we searched you, if God openly searched you, what would He find? Man, I've learned that some Christians are the most miserable people in the world. Because as we're sinning, man, we have the Holy Spirit with us, right? As immersed Christians, the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of us, right? God has given us part of Him to be with us all the time. And so as we sin, like God is there with us, and man, for a second it may be like fun and feeling, but then all of a sudden it's like, man, this is terrible, and so you're miserable, right? And then people come to church, or they're watching church online, and man, they're miserable because their sin is with them. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I love orange juice. Orange juice is good. In fact, my little girl, Elsie Grace, she loves, like, loves orange juice. We say love a lot, but she could have, like, an IV hooked up to her all the time. It's that good to her. But I do, man. I love orange juice. It's good. That's good stuff. But I love root beer. Even more, I love cream soda. A&W. They have good cream soda. But I love it. It's good stuff, right? Anybody like cream soda? Anybody like root beer? I love it. I love cream soda. And, man, it just feels good going down, right? But this is what we struggle with, right? Because we as Christians, man, we love God. God is good, right? But I smoke pot. But then, man, I love reading the Bible. Man, it's so filling, and the nutrients in it just, man, it affects my life. But 50 Shades of Grey is a good book, right? Man, God is so good. Look, He just blesses my life. I love Him so much. I hate her. Do you see where I'm getting at? And so, man, we got this good and we got this bad, and man, we're constantly filling ourselves up. And that's the way our sin is, right? And so it's like 90% God even, because let's face it, as Christians, we don't sin very much, right? Like, there might be just that one thing, right? And so we got our God here and then just that one thing, and so we're going to keep it. And then that's gross. But we want it, right? We're going to do away with everything but that one sin that we really struggle with. But, well, we want to keep God, and then we're going and then, ugh, that's terrible. But this is what our lives look like. And it doesn't work. 1 John chapter 5, man, it's talking about God, and it says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness. But yet we walk around as Christians and we have this right here and it doesn't work. We have one foot in the world and one foot out and it doesn't work. And it's making us miserable. It's making us miserable. To the point where as we're sinning, man, it just sucks. And as we're going to church, man, it's just miserable. Because we're trying to keep the two things together, but in God, there's no darkness. God is light. Man, in Jeremiah 2, it's talking about how these people, they're so thirsty, and man, they're coming to God and they're digging all these cisterns, or they're trying to find water. And God says, I'm a living spring. I'm a living spring. I'll give you life. But yet, you're digging all these cisterns and man, you're dry. You're dying. You're shriveling up. And that's the same for us. Because we come to church on Sundays and we feel it's going to get us through the week. Sunday afternoon, we're fussing and cussing because you got players who are kneeling on the field and we can't stand that. We got people who fumble the ball and we hate that. We're yelling at our TV. We idolize Patrick Mahomes. We can't have both. But yet, here's the deal. We read, taste and see that God is good. Do you know that God created and created and created, and never one time did He say, that's bad? What did He say? Yeah, this is good. It's good. But man comes in and we ruin everything because either we try to hoard it and have too much of it, or we say, nah, that's not good. I can't have that. Hypocrites. That was Jesus' biggest hang-up, was hypocrite. There's joy to be had in Christ. And we miss it. We miss it because we're holding on to this junk. We're holding on to it so tight we don't want to let it go because we think that this gives us life. But man, you see those bubbles? They wreak havoc on our inside. The same with sin. It wreaks havoc on our minds and havoc on our hearts, havoc on our souls. He came to give you life, life abundantly. So this morning, my question to you is what does your life look like? If God openly searched you, what would He find? This morning, if you're outside of Christ, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, man, then I pray that you come. Because, man, that little snippet of a passage that we read in 2 Timothy about the end times, man, we're in them now. We're in them now. Because churches are more and more focusing on themselves. Man, I hope they sing a song that I like. I hope I can sit beside who I want to. I hope the preacher says something that I want to hear that challenges me. Me, 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 me. Man, we're focusing on ourselves so much that we're missing the kingdom of God and the joy that it has. So come to Christ. Come to Christ and experience life.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.